Amen. This morning, we are continuing our conversation about hearing from God. Since those were supposed to be new batteries, but I guess they're not. Since Easter, we have been in a series called Where is God? God, where are you? I don't see you. I don't feel you. I don't hear you. I need you. Where are you at? And last week, we are talking about God, I don't hear you. Anybody been there? You've said this statement right here. God, I don't hear you. I don't hear him. Where is he? And we talked last week about distractions. And that's one of the reasons why we don't hear from God, right? We want to hear from God when we have big decisions to make about a job or who we're going to marry or a financial decision. We want to make sure that we are in the will of God. Or maybe when we're in a desperate need of a miracle and we need God to intervene supernaturally in our lives. Or we just want to know that God is still here with us. Right, we talk all the time about how God wants a relationship with us. So it's like, God, are you still here? Are you sure you still want a relationship with me? Because I'm not hearing from you. Why can't we hear God when we need him? And sometimes we can, and we know that God is speaking to us. And other times, we just aren't so sure. So what do we do? And last week, we talked about getting rid of the false idea that God isn't speaking. Right, because God is always speaking. It's not that he isn't speaking to us, it's that we are not hearing God. That's what we talked about last week. And we're going to continue this because we talked about two main reasons why we don't hear God when he speaks to us. One is because we're distracted. We're distracted by busyness. We're distracted by competing voices in the world. We're distracted even by our own fear of God. What are you going to say when you speak to me? Are you going to condemn me? Are you going to judge me? Are you going to do all of these things? And we become distracted. And the second reason why we don't hear God when he speaks is because we don't know how God actually speaks. Maybe you're thinking that this morning. Man, I would love to hear from God, but how do I know if it's God speaking to me or it's the bad pizza that I ate last night that is speaking to me? Right? Anybody been there before? I know I've been there. God, are you sure this is you speaking to me? And that's a huge issue in many people's lives, is that we don't know how God speaks to us. And maybe you can relate to this. You've read stories in the Bible about God speaking to people, and it seems like those people instantly knew that God was talking to them, right? We read the Bible, and it seems sometimes like this happened, and then immediately this happened, and immediately this happened, and immediately this happened. That's not always the case, but sometimes that is how it happened. We can read stories and we can get discouraged because we see how God supernaturally spoke to Moses through a burning bush, how God audibly spoke to Samuel in the temple, and God specifically spoke instructions to Noah to build the ark. And we think, God, why can't you speak to me that way? So clearly, so loudly, so specifically. But that is because God speaks to different people differently. This is what I want you to catch this morning. God speaks to different people differently. Let that just sink in for a moment. You see, God did not speak to Moses the same way that he spoke to Noah. God didn't speak to the Apostle Paul the same way that he spoke to the Apostle John or the Apostle Peter or to Nehemiah or to King David. We see the Bible is chocked full of people and their relationships with God who spoke and communicated to God differently. And God spoke differently to them. You see, God is not limited in the way that he speaks, just like we aren't limited in the way that we speak, right? We have phone calls, we have texts, we have Facebook, we have Instagram, we have so many different ways to communicate. So the question this morning is, if God is always speaking, we just aren't hearing, and God speaks to different people differently, then the question becomes, well, how does God speak to you? How does he speak to you? Because how he speaks to you might be differently than how he speaks to somebody else in church. It might be differently even than how he speaks to your spouse. See, God speaks to Kinsey and I in different ways. And it may be the same for you. God also might speak differently to you depending on your circumstance or your situation or the season of life that you are in. So that's the question we're going to be answering today. God, how do you speak to me? And the word of God actually helps us with this answer. I want to show you how God speaks to people in the Bible. And as we grow through these 8 ways that God speaks to people, I want you to be asking this question. God, which way do you want to speak to me? Which way do you want to speak to me? You see, you're already assuming that God wants to speak because he does. So how do we need to listen to his voice? So let's go through these 8 different ways that God speaks. This is not by any means an exhaustive list of how God speaks, but the most common ways that we see in Scripture that God speaks to people and how he speaks to us today as well. The first one is this, that God speaks through his word. God speaks through his word. This is first and foremost. Before any other way that God speaks, he speaks through the word of God right here, the Bible. 2 Timothy 3 says, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. See, this is reason number one. The Bible, the word of God, is the primary way that God speaks to us today. And the Apostle Paul, who actually wrote this scripture to another pastor, Timothy, is explaining this to him. And when he writes this scripture, Paul actually creates a new word. Did anybody do this as a kid? Like, you didn't know how to explain something, so you just come up with a word to explain it? Anybody ever do that? Some of you are like, nope, not at all, right? You know those weird, freaky twins who have, like, their own language? I feel like that's kind of what Paul is doing in this moment. He's like, hey, I don't know how to explain how God speaks, so let me just come up with a word that describes it, okay? And the word that he uses, I can't even pronounce in Greek, but it's the word translated as God-breathed. You see, we don't even have a word in the English language for it. We have to take 2 words and put them together. He created this word. It's the only place in the entire Bible you will find this word. And it talks about God speaking to people through the word of God, through written scripture. You see, this Greek word that Paul writes, it refers to the spirit of God, the pneuma, which means the breath of God in Greek. And God's spirit has spoken every word of scripture. See, this book is an inspired word of God. God breathed, spoken by the Holy Spirit to people just like you and I to say, listen, this is what I want humanity to know about me. And God is speaking to you through this word as well. So if you want to hear the voice of God clearly and fully in your life, you have to read the word of God. Some of you are thinking, really? That book, that really boring one, right? The one where Genesis, like, it's okay. It has some long stories, but it's okay. And then you get to Exodus, and Exodus is kind of good because, you know, God speaks through a burning bush, and Moses goes, and he turns a staff into a snake and parts the Red Sea and all of these crazy things. But then, have you read the end of Exodus? That's kind of boring, right? All of these rules of how, here's how you build the tabernacle and all of these things. And then you get to Numbers. Some of you are like, the name itself, I'm just done, right? It's all about numbers. That's the book that God speaks. Yes, it is so powerful. Don't even get me started on the book of Numbers, okay? It's actually one of my favorite. There's some crazy stories in the book of Numbers. Get past the numbers, read the stories. It's incredible. But this is how God speaks to you and I, because as we see in Scripture, nothing is new under the sun. So every problem, every situation, every circumstance that you are going through in your life, there is a way to get through it with God found in this book right here. God speaks through his word. The word of God is living and active and can speak directly into your situation even today. See, I started something on my sabbatical. I actually created this little book because even though I'm a millennial, I hate digital stuff, and so I have to have a physical book in front of me. But I created this book with 9 different prayers that I pray every single morning. And those prayers are based solely off of Scripture. So there might be a prayer that I pray each morning about anxiety, giving my anxiety to the Lord. And that entire prayer is based off of 5 or 6 scriptures from the Word of God about anxiety. And before I even get to the prayer, I have on the left side of my book all of the scriptures listed out. And when I start to read those scriptures each morning to myself, man, the Word of God just speaks to my soul. It is so healthy and fulfilling. Before I get to the prayer and say, God, here's what I need from you, I'm saying, God, this is the truth of your word for this situation and this circumstance. God speaks through his word. So if you want to hear the voice of God, you have to know his word. The second way that God speaks through his word is through the Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit. See, John 14, 26 says this. This is Jesus talking. But when the Father sends the advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything that I have told you. He will teach you everything. You see, the entire job of the Holy Spirit is to speak to you by teaching you and guiding you through what? The Word of God. It all comes back to this. But the Holy Spirit comes and God says, hey, my spirit will physically be with you to help you understand. So when you get to those weird parts of the Bible, you stop and you say, God, what does this mean? God, I don't get it. I don't understand it. And the Holy Spirit will teach you and guide you and place these little thoughts inside of your heart and in your mind and in your soul like, oh, that's what I need to do. That makes sense. That's what I am supposed to know in this scripture. See, certainly the Holy Spirit speaks to us when we read the Word of God. I mean, he inspired it. But he can also speak to us independently. And we see this all over the Old Testament with the prophets. They say that the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me. Or the Spirit of the Lord came upon me and told me. Right? He speaks directly to our hearts. When the Holy Spirit speaks, it's different from the other ways that God speaks because he speaks directly to us. Not through scripture, not through other people, not through some other revelation, but directly to our soul. God wants a relationship with us. Can you imagine having a relationship with your spouse or with your sibling that every communication you have to do has to go through some other person? That would be a terrible relationship. Right? That's an immature relationship. That's what we did in middle school, right? You know what I'm talking about? Man, there was a girl, I remember, sixth grade. Paige Michelle Dongan, that was her name. I was in love. She sat across from me in history class. We'd play footsie with each other under the table, never spoke a word. And finally, we had a mutual friend. And this mutual friend came up to me one day and she said, hey, do you like Dawn? Because she told me that she really likes you. And I was like, really? She said that? Well, can you go ask her what she means by liking me? Like, does she like me as a friend or does she like me? And for 3 days, our whole communication went through this mutual friend. Could you imagine if that's what you had to do with God? No, he wants a relationship with you. He speaks directly to your heart and to your soul. The Spirit of God will teach you and guide you in everything that you need. The second way that God speaks is through other people. Other people have a purpose and a place in our life. That's why we come and join together for church each morning, for God to not only speak to us directly, but speak to us through his word and also speak to us through other people. Right, this was the entire purpose of the prophets in the Old Testament, to speak for God to other people. And it's easy to say, well, we don't have prophets anymore, which I agree with. But the spiritual gift of prophecy is just that. It is a gift given to us by the Holy Spirit to speak the truth of God's word to someone who needs to hear it. This is how God still speaks today. That's why Paul takes almost an entire 3 chapters in Corinthians to talk about these spiritual gifts of, hey, here's what happens when the Lord speaks to you for somebody else. Here's what you're supposed to do so they can test it and know that it is from the Lord. See, I can't tell you how many times God has spoken through other people to me and even spoken through me to other people. You see, Kinsey and I, we're about to leave after church to go to our annual network conference. It's where all of the Assemblies of God pastors in the state of Wyoming get together once a year to conduct business, to fellowship, to connect with each other, to just kind of have a time to restore and say, God, what are you speaking to us across the board as ministers this year? And I remember several years ago when we still lived in Missouri, we were at the Southern Missouri Network Conference, and it was during a service in the evening, and, you know, there's people up at the front, they're worshiping God, they're kind of praying, and I felt God just, like, single this man out and all of the people up front. And I was like, okay, that's weird. And then I felt the Holy Spirit speak to me and say, hey, you need to go and tell that person that I am calling them to preach the word of God. I'm calling them into ministry. And the things that I have been calling them to do are being confirmed in their heart in this moment. And I was one of those things like, you sure I didn't eat something weird before this meeting? Like, God, am I hearing from you right? What's going on? So I took a step of faith. I got out of my seat. I go up to the front. I tap this guy on the shoulder, asked him what his name was and where he was from. He was actually in a drug rehabilitation program. And that whole group of men came to the service that night. He'd been in the program for about 11 months. And he's like, man, I have just been focusing on God these 11 months. I'm like, that is awesome. And then I told him, I said, I don't know if I am off base or if this will speak to you. I said, if this does not speak to you at all, just forget I said anything, right? I ate some bad pizza. But if it speaks to you, I feel like the Lord singled you out for me to tell you that he's calling you into ministry, to preach the word, that the story that you have in your life will help other people come to the saving knowledge and grace of Jesus Christ. And as soon as I said that, this man just broke down and began to weep. And he said, before you came up and told me that, I was standing here with my hands lifted, praying to God, God, I feel like you're calling me into ministry, but how can you use a former addict like me? God, I believe this is what you're calling me to do, but you have to give me a sign. He literally told me, I pray, God, send somebody to tell me that you are calling me to do this. You see, God uses other people to confirm the words he has already spoken. And that's what we have to know about how God speaks through other people, right? Because when God speaks through other people, he doesn't really give us a revelation through that person. When God speaks through other people, he's confirming something in you that he's already spoken to you, either through his word or through the Holy Spirit or a peace inside of your heart, which we'll get to in just a moment. It confirms something that God is already speaking, and he uses those other people. So we have to hear and know the voice of God for when God uses other people to speak to us, but also we have to know how to hear the voice of God when God wants to use us to speak to other people. Because there may be a moment when you're like, God, did I hear you right? You want me to go and tell this person what? I don't know that person. Or I do know that person, and they're going to think I'm crazy. This has nothing to do with them. I know their backstory. I know their life. This doesn't make any sense. And God says, do it anyway. And when you know the voice of God, you can say, okay, God, I'm going to lead by faith and go and speak. This is what we see in Acts chapter 9, the story of Paul and Ananias, right? The apostle Paul just had this just revelatory encounter with God on the road to Damascus. God had already spoken to him, blinded him, and he says, hey, you need to go to this house and there will be a man that meets you there. And then God speaks to Ananias, we see in Acts chapter 9. And God tells Ananias, hey, you need to go to this house. And the apostle, and Paul, Silas at the time, Saul is there. And you need to tell him that I am calling him to preach the word and that I am going to heal him. And Ananias, my goodness, talk about a tongue twister. And Ananias goes, say what? You want to say that again, God? Because Ananias knew who Saul, later known as Paul, is. This is the guy who kills people like me. He's been killing Christians all over the place. That's why he was coming to Damascus, right? To kill other Christians. And you want me to go talk to him? I know that guy. This doesn't make any sense. And God says, trust me. I'm speaking to him through you. That's how God speaks. We also see a fourth way that God speaks. And God speaks through dreams and visions. He speaks through dreams and visions. Now, I lumped these two together for a reason. Because there's only a slight difference between the two. You see, many times God will show us a picture of something that he wants us to do. Like in the case of Ananias going to speak to Paul. Other times, a dream or a vision will be symbolic. So God will either say, hey, here's a dream or a vision of something in the future that I want you to do. I want you to go talk to this person. I want you to go to this country. In fact, I have some friends that are becoming missionaries right now, and I was just talking to him, and he said on the same night, him and his wife had the exact same dream of a country in Africa in a specific village of sharing the gospel with people. When they started comparing the dreams, they're like, there's no way this is, you know, something that we ate. Like, this can only be from the Lord. So sometimes he shows you something specifically. Other times, it will be a symbolic vision that will God will then explain the dream or the vision to you. But the main difference between a dream and a vision is that one you're awake for and the other one is you're asleep. Super spiritual reason, right? One you're awake for, the other one you're asleep. When you're dreaming, you're asleep. When you have a vision, you're awake. And in Genesis chapter 37, we see that one night, Joseph had a dream. And God spoke to him, symbolically, right? The all of the stars bowed down to the sun and to the moon. And he's like, hey, all my brothers and sisters, God told me that you guys are going to worship me. And then he goes through a crazy series of circumstances, becoming just as high as Pharaoh in Egypt, overseeing all of Egypt. And guess what his brothers do? They come and they bow down before him. It was a symbolic dream about what God was calling him to do. But then in Acts chapter 10, we see a picture of a vision. Peter has a vision while he's still awake, where God speaks to him about sharing the message, not just with Jews, but also with Gentiles, that the gospel is for them as well. And then we see this in Joel chapter 2. It says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. So God speaks through dreams and through visions. And you may be thinking, well, why does God speak to old men through dreams and to young men through visions? Well, I think the reason why has nothing to do with age and everything to do with our level of faith. Think about that for a moment. Has everything to do with your level of faith. You see, it's much easier to ignore a dream and blame it on the pizza. It's much more difficult to ignore a vision where you are awake and seeing something different than what's actually in front of you. So as we grow in our faith and our spiritual maturity, we are able to recognize the difference between a crazy dream and the Lord speaking to us. And if God speaks to some of you in a dream, you're gonna be like, that was weird, that was crazy, I'm not gonna pay any attention to it. But if he gives you a vision, I better listen to that, right? The Lord is trying to show something to us. And this is how God speaks to a lot of people. Maybe this is how he speaks to you. This is how God speaks to me quite often, is through a dream or through a vision. I can't explain it, but that is how the Lord speaks to me. Number five, we see that God speaks, well, let me recap for a minute. God speaks through his word, through the Holy Spirit, through other people, and through dreams and visions. But now, here's how God speaks to us. He speaks through us in these four ways. He speaks to us in these ways. God speaks to our mind. He speaks to our mind. This is why Paul says in Romans 12:2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. You see, many times when we're trying to make a decision on what to do, we say prayers like, God, is it your will that I quit my job? And we want to hear God and know his answer. We'll ask him questions. God, is it your will that I marry this person? Is it your will that I make this financial investment? God, is it your will that I go and see this doctor or take this medication or whatever it is? We say, God, what is it that you want me to do? And what God will do is he will speak to you by giving you a thought in your mind that you never would have thought of on your own. That's why Paul says that you have to be transformed by the spiritual renewing of your mind. So that when God speaks to you, say, oh, that wasn't me. I couldn't have thought of that idea. God, this is totally you. The only way to be able to clearly hear when God speaks to you is by meditating on his word, renewing your mind, and allowing yourself to hear the voice of God when he speaks to you. So sometimes he'll speak to your mind through a thought. Man, I was thinking and praying about this, and all of a sudden, this just kind of out of left field comes and enters my mind. Second way that God speaks to us is he speaks to our hearts. Speaks to our heart. See, God speaking to your heart is different than your mind. When he speaks to your mind, it is through a thought or a question or some seemingly internal dialogue, right? That weird voice inside of your head that you're like, am I a little schizophrenic or is that actually God? It's God. But when he speaks to your heart, he's speaking to the core of who you are. And if you've ever had God speak directly to your heart, you know what I'm talking about. It's not just a thought that popped into your mind of, man, this is the decision that I may need to make, or this is how God is leading me. It is the core of who you are. God spoke directly to me. In Luke 24, 32, as we saw on Easter Sunday, the road to Damascus, the two disciples, after they met with Jesus and he broke the bread and revealed himself to them, it says they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? Man, when you feel that your heart is burning with a passion, a desire, a thought that you just can't shake, that is the Lord speaking to your heart. Psalm 39:3, King David says, my heart grew hot within me. While I meditated, the fire burned, and then I spoke with my tongue. You see, a lot of people ask me how I knew that God had called me into ministry, right? How did you hear from God and know that when I was 13 years old, God was calling me to preach the word? And there's a lot of different ways that I heard the voice of God. I heard the voice of God through a vision. He showed a vision to me, and I was like, God, that has to be you. He spoke through other people, confirmation into my heart. But the one way that I always go back to, if I heard the voice of God calling me to preach the word, is because I had a passion and a fire in my heart. He spoke directly to my heart. Right? It's when I was thinking, every time I would think about preaching or sharing the truth and the knowledge about scripture, my heart would burn with passion. It was like a fire welling up inside of my heart that could not be contained. And the only relief, like King David said, was to speak the word of God to others. Sometimes God speaks to your heart through putting an intense passion and desire and just this deep burning hunger for whatever it is that he wants you to do. And when it's not just a fleeing passion, right? We've all had those. I have those all the time. My wife tells me I'm really good at being a jack of all trades because I'll be like, hey, you know what? I'll build you some cabinets, right? I have this super passionate desire to build some cabinets for our house. And I'll work on it on one weekend. And then 5 weekends go by and she says, hey, the cabinets still aren't done. The passion was fleeting, right? It just kind of, it came and it went. Any men know what I'm talking about? Any women know what I'm talking about? Right? But when God speaks to your heart, it's not just a fleeing passion. It is a desire that is straight down to your core. He speaks directly to your heart, and it will begin to burn within you. So he speaks to our minds, he speaks to our heart. But here's the other thing too, is God can speak to our mind and to our heart all day long. But there's also different ways that he speaks to our mind and to our heart. And one way that he does that is God speaks audibly, right? An actual audible voice. And this is perhaps the first thing that we think of when we think about God speaking, right? When we read the Bible, I think we all assume that God is audibly speaking to every single person. Maybe he was, maybe he wasn't. There's a lot of people, though, that we see in scripture, it says that God audibly spoke. God said, God spoke, God declared. So God audibly speaks. After all, the way that we as humans communicate is through audible words and noises, right? So it makes sense that that's how we assume that God speaks. If you're a dad, you might also speak through an audible dad grunt or noise. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Oh my goodness, Cordell has picked up on this already. It's also sad that I'm 27 and I already have dad grunts. It is terrible. The other day I went to get down on the floor to play with him and I go, oh, and all of a sudden he just goes, oh. Like, what on earth, kid? You're already picking it up. Sometimes God does speak audibly to us. It's natural to lean towards this way of speaking, of God speaking to us first. We want him to speak audibly and clearly, to know beyond the shadow of a doubt, this is God's voice speaking to me. And he does that throughout scripture. God calls Moses to lead his people out of Egypt. He does it audibly through a burning bush. God calls Samuel to be the next prophet of Israel. He speaks to him while he's sleeping audibly. When Jesus is baptized, we see that the voice of God comes out of the clouds and says, this is my son whom I am well pleased. We want God to speak that way to us. Most of the time, we think that when God does speak audibly, he speaks in a loud, thundering voice. And he does do this. God speaks in a loud, thundering voice, and many times. In John 12, some Greeks come to Bethsaida and they wanted to meet with Jesus, right? They wanted to know, is this guy that we have heard about really the Son of God? Is he really the man doing all of these miracles and raising the dead and making the lame walk and healing the blind? Is he really the Son of God like he says? And as Jesus is meeting with these Greeks, John says this, a voice spoke from heaven saying, I have already brought glory to my name and I will do so again. And when the crowd heard the voice, look at this, some thought it was thunder, while others declared an angel had spoken to him. And then Jesus told them, the voice was for your benefit, not mine. Think about that for a minute. If everything we are supposed to do as a follower of Jesus is to glorify God, I think a lot, we have to think about that in terms of how God speaks to us, because so many times we say, God, I want to hear from you audibly, loud, boisterously. Speak to me in this entire crowd of people so I know that you spoke. And God says, well, that's for your benefit, not for mine. Because God's benefit might be to speak to 50 people individually at the same time instead of one in a group of 50. Think about that for a minute. But when God spoke, other people who could not understand the voice of God, they said, it's thunder, it's loud, it is roaring, it is there. And God does speak that way. But every time we see him do so, it is to reveal who Jesus is to a large group of people. So we have to understand context of when God speaks as well. Oftentimes we want God to speak in a loud, thundering voice to us personally. And while God can do this, it doesn't seem to be the way that he audibly speaks to us or even audibly speaks to people in the Bible. See, the way that God speaks audibly is in a still, small voice. That's how he does it, in a still, small voice. Maybe you know what I'm talking about. Maybe you've had those moments in your life where you were praying just intently, God, I need to know the answer. I need to know what you want me to do. I need to know that you're with me. God, I need to hear from you. And you have one of those thoughts that's more than a thought. You know what I'm talking about? One of those thoughts where it's just, there's like another voice just whispering right in your ear almost. This is what to do. That's the voice of God. A still, small voice. See, the prophet Elijah was in a place of desperation, much like we have been in times in our lives. He was actually being tracked down to be killed. And he's like, God, I need to hear from you. He desperately needed to hear the voice of God, fleeing for his life, hiding out in a cave. And he thought that he heard God wrong when God called him to speak repentance to the nation of Israel. So he needed encouragement and direction from God. Otherwise, he was going to stop doing what God called him to do. And in 1 Kings 19:11, it says this, and God said, go forth and stand upon the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and broke it in pieces, the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. Right? Elijah wanted that loud, thundering voice from God. But God's voice wasn't there. It wasn't in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake came. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire came. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. So often we want God to speak to us through these huge, earth-shattering moments. And he certainly can. But he would much rather speak to you in the stillness of your life. That's why it's important to take time throughout our day and our week to stop in silence before the Lord. Because it's in the stillness of our life that the Lord will whisper what you need to hear. When you get quiet and alone with him, without the distractions of busyness, the competing voices of the world, and the fear in your heart, and you intently focus on God, he will speak to you. Because that's where a relationship is built. See, I don't know about you, but I hate it. Absolutely hate it when Kinsey yells at me. Anybody like being yelled at? Anybody at all? Bart, you're the only exception. It's the only way Lord can keep you lined out. I hate it. And I don't know if you know this about my wife, but she can get excited really easily. And when she gets really excited, she gets really loud. And I just have a hard time when people are loud listening to what they have to say. Sometimes I'm just like, I am annoyed, all right? Probably sharing too much as your pastor, but that's okay. But it's the moments where Kinsey and I are sitting at home. The kids are asleep, which is rarely happening these days with Sophia, but the kids are asleep. It's quiet in the house, and we're just laying in bed, quietly conversing with each other. That's the moments that our relationship is built. Those are the moments that we can be intimate with one another. We can share our burdens of the day with each other. That when we are just in the stillness and the quiet with one another, we can hear what the other person is saying, and we know that they are there for us. It's the same thing with God. In the stillness of your life, he will whisper what you need. We also see not only does God speak audibly, but the last way that God speaks is God speaks internally. See, God's not limited to speaking to us audibly. After all, he is God, right? He can speak internally directly to our heart and to our mind. Sometimes my wife thinks I can speak to her internally, directly to her mind, but I can't, all right? But God can. Sometimes when God speaks, it can be through the audible thought or a voice that speaks to the heart of who we are. But most of the time, God speaks internally to us. And here's how he does it. He speaks internally by giving you peace. By giving you peace. That's how God speaks the majority of the time today. In John 14:27, this is Jesus talking again, and this is what he says. He says, I'm leaving you with a gift. And here's the gift, peace of mind and heart. You see that? And the peace I give is a gift that the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. See, if you're seeking an answer from God, if you need to hear God say, God, where are you? Are you here? I don't hear you. And you need to hear from God. You need to make a decision. God will give you peace in your heart and in your mind. It's a gift from the Lord. If you're going through physical health challenges and you don't know whether to go on medication or have the surgery or the next step to take, seek God and he will give you peace about the decision that you should make. If you don't know if it's time to retire, to change jobs, to buy a house or a car or go in on all of that investment, pray about it. And God will give you peace in your mind and in your heart about the direction you should go. It's the primary way that I believe the Holy Spirit speaks to us today because it is a gift from God. Just like it's a spiritual gift to speak through other people, right, and have them speak to us. This is a gift from the Lord. And it's a gift that the world cannot give. Right, the world cannot speak internally to our heart and to our mind. We just said we are audible people, right? We can only vocally express our thoughts and our opinions and our minds. Only God can speak internally. What a wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit. to be able to say, I can speak in a way that nobody else can. And I am going to give you a peace in your mind and heart that surpasses all understanding. So you know that this is the decision you need to make. So if you're in a situation this morning, you're thinking, God, I need to hear from you. I don't know what to do. I don't know the next step to take. Pray to the Lord. Say, God, how do you want to speak to me in this moment? Maybe it's just putting a piece of, here's the next step I take, and I'm walking in peace in that situation. Maybe it is through confirmation of somebody else. Maybe it's, God, I'm going to begin reading the word, seeking an answer. And there's just a scripture one day that jumps out at you and says, this is what you need to take the next step. He speaks to us all. I hope you can see by now that God is not limited in how he speaks. Because the truth is that the problem is not that God is not speaking, it's that we aren't hearing. So as Sherry comes to the piano to play, I want us to pause for just the next few moments. And I want you to ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, what are you speaking to me? And more specifically, I want you to ask yourself, Holy Spirit, how are you speaking to me? And here's what I want you to encourage you to do. I want to encourage you to focus on God. Ian, if you put that last slide up, please. Say, God, how are you speaking to me? Focus on God. Here's how you focus on God. Here's what I want you to do. This might be new for some of you, but I want you to change your posture. Right? Get out of your head, change your physical position. Maybe you're gonna kneel down in your seat instead of sitting. Maybe you're gonna go sit in another seat in the sanctuary. Maybe you're gonna come up to the altars. But just change your posture. Say, God, this is the moment that I'm moving into your presence, and I'm only going to focus on you. And then I want you to eliminate the distractions in your mind. Don't think about the things you have to do after church, how your kids are doing, where you need to be. Simply focus on God. And if in order to do that, you need to give some burdens to the Lord, this is the time to do that, to get rid of the distractions. Then you simply ask, Holy Spirit, how are you speaking to me? And here's the key. After you ask the Lord, how are you gonna speak to me? You pause and you let the Holy Spirit speak. Maybe it's a specific situation, a specific question, a specific area in your life that you're needing God to speak to. Ask him, God, speak to me in this situation, and then pause and let him speak. Maybe he's gonna speak in a still small voice in your mind. Maybe he's gonna give you a thought. Maybe he's gonna put a passion deep inside of your heart. Maybe he's gonna speak internally and give you peace about how to move forward. But let's take the next 5 to 10 minutes and say, God, I need to hear your voice. How do you speak to me? Come and speak so I know that you are with me. Let's take this time and focus on the Lord. God, we are so thankful that you still speak to us today. Your word is living and breathing, active in our lives. God, you still speak through your word directly to our situation and our circumstance. God, I just pray that as we prepare to leave here today, that we will leave with knowing in our hearts that you are always ready to speak. We must be ready to listen. Help us, Lord, to get rid of the distractions in our life and that we can hear you clearly in the way that you want to speak to us today. God, I pray that you will bring clarity to each one of us this morning, that you will help us to know, God, this is how you speak to me. You speak differently to different people, but to me, you speak through your word. You speak by speaking directly to my heart and to my mind. You speak in audible, still small voice, or God, you just place a peace inside of my heart that I cannot describe, that surpasses all understanding in my situation, and I know that you are with me. Help us, Lord. I pray for those this morning that are desperately needing to hear your voice for a situation in their life. Maybe it's a decision to make, God. Maybe it's just to know that you are here with us. I pray that you will speak clearly and fully, that as we walk in faith and obedience in the next step, we know, God, I hear you and I know that you are with me. And Lord, I just pray for those this morning, God. Maybe there's somebody here that they're thinking, man, I would love to hear from God, but they haven't given their life fully to you yet. God, we also see in the book of John, you say that in order to know your voice, we have to know you. For it's only your sheep that hear your voice. So I pray for those this morning, God, that if they have not given their lives to you, ask you to forgive them of their sin because you have the power to defeat death, hell, and the grave. They will do that in this moment to give their lives to you. Thank you, Jesus, for your glory, for your honor, and your power. In your holy, mighty name, amen.